All right, here we go. We're up and running. 8:29 right now. Dr. Jeffrey Gordier, nationally renowned clinical psychologist, professor at Touro College. Great to see you, Dr. Jeffrey. Thank you for taking the time to come in. And sure. Where did I see you last? Over at Fox? Was it over at Fox?
Over at Fox. And folks should know that I've known Joe for a couple of years. Yeah. We've talked about some of your marriages and divorces, yeah, by the way. And it's always great to be with you.
Thank you. You know what? Great to have you here, too. I know the guys always bust chops. You know, we have jewelers. We're talking about Ford's Jewelers. I'm thinking, yeah, about diamond rings and will I get married again? Why do those of us, and we'll get to the issues, mm-hmm, at hand, sure, of the day, but more importantly, about me, Doc. why do we make this? You see chaos? We talked about this. Because I could go, if you did a clinical study, this is great. If you, and you said, all right, let's see if one man could meet the identical woman right in a row. Boom.
Yeah.
And boom. And you, if you did a scientific study, Dr. Gordier, for 10 years, you couldn't get the answer. You put me on the street, in 3 minutes, I'll have the exact woman I'm attracted to. They're identical. My ex, sure, and then the next ex, they're identical in personality, in temperament, in all the chaos.
Yeah.
I'm searching for that, aren't I?
Well, I think you're searching for that corrective emotional experience. If you couldn't get it right with the first or the second, yeah, or the third, I don't know how many you're on at this point, then certainly you're going to get it right. But you have a type, and we all have a type, and that's okay. But we also have to take a look at, if it's not working, we can keep the type on the outside,
yeah,
but what's on the inside? Because we choose our partners, and a lot of times, some of these situations, Joe, you know this, it goes back to childhood, some of the things we haven't worked out, and then we try to work them out in our marriages, in our occupations.
Yeah,
some,
yeah,
people become comedians, and they're constantly working their issues out on stage.
Hello.
Right.
Oh, it's very true. It's so funny you say this, because I think I've become an entertainer. You seek the approval. So, because, yeah, I can remember I was in Atlantic City, and then right before you go on the air, you would get exes that were would like to bust your chops a little bit.
Right.
They know you were stepping on stage, right?
Right, right.
So they call. So we would have a joke, all the crew. And right before we go on, it'd be like 10 of 9, show at 9, and the phones would all light up. They would do all the exes to bust chops. Oh, now they're going to go do a show. I'm going to bust their chops. And we would all wave the phone to each other going, who's calling? Who? Men and women. This is not a man and woman, mm-hmm, issue. There's always an unhappy,
right,
ex. But
that's,
you know,
right,
what it did? You'd step on stage. The shows were better than ever. They were better than ever because I worked harder for the approval of that audience. Am I right?
If you're not getting that approval from the ex, then,
yeah,
you're going to go out and get it from the audience. But, you know, we have to understand, people are pretty smart. They get to know you and they know what pushes your buttons. But,
mm-mm,
if you're smart enough, you turn that anger into energy, you turn it into power,
yeah,
and you go out there and you, what we call in psychology talk, the sublimation, being able,
ooh,
to take something that's negative,
ooh,
and turn it into something that's powerful, that's beautiful, that's creative. That's really what comedy is,
yeah,
all about.
Yeah, you're so right, because I do go head-to-head. I do go, I'm like, I always try to put the obstacles aside, but I do go head-to-head with
them. Well, hey, if you think about it, Joe, that's the therapy. People are listening,
mm,
to you and your catharsis,
yeah,
but guess what? The,
mm,
people in the audience,
yeah,
are also working out their issues, listening to what you're going through, and so we call that a form of group therapy.
We love it. So what do you do with, let's go to more dramatic,
sure,
issues and much more searing, so, like Harvey Weinstein. Now, I heard for years, I thought it was sanctioned. I thought that the gals that were with Harvey Weinstein, it was all consensual indeed. But they, and I can't imagine, because I'm such a, I'm really an introvert, and I could never push myself on somebody like that,
mm-hmm,
of
mm-hmm,
any sex. I couldn't,
mm-hmm,
say, hey,
mm-hmm,
you know who I am. I could never do that. I always let, in my life, I always let the gal take the initiative. But you could bully women like that in that position. That's a horrible thing.
It is a horrible thing, but you have to understand, this isn't just about wanting to be with someone intimately. It's not about wanting to push yourself on someone as far as a sexual assault. When I've worked with individuals of this kind of profile, those are people who are in pain. and therefore they want to inflict that pain on someone else because they don't know how to be in a healthy relationship. And so the collateral damage becomes the people that they have power over. And it always comes down to that, isn't it? It's about the power you have over someone else.
And it's not the physical act of what they're doing. It's more. It's
Well, that's horrific by itself, because we do know in some of these cases, even if there wasn't a physical assault, the psychological, the emotional assault. Some people talk about this is what got them to stay out of the business, to stay out of show business, because they were so emotionally upset and scarred by that kind of a situation.
Yeah. Now, Kevin Spacey, immense respect for Spacey as an actor, a Jersey guy, and House of Cards, you know, and this guy, just a brilliant, brilliant actor. So apparently he molested a 14-year-old 30 years ago, and I guess the guy that he molested thought he should talk about it, and then Kevin plays the gay card. This is what the thing is. Oh, I'm a gay man. Is that a distraction on Kevin's part, Kevin Spacey's part, dealing with this, I don't know, it's 30 years ago. I mean, you have to acknowledge it, because it did happen, I guess, and he's admitting that it happened.
And from what I read, he is admitting that it happened, but a lot of people have gone on Facebook and social media and said that he's conflating the two by coming out as gay, which is something that many people said he should have done a very long time ago to help those in the LGBTQ community. Yep. To do it now is a little bit self-serving and a little bit of a distraction for allegedly what happened with the young actor.
On that note, Doctor, and you're being very gracious with your time, and great to see you. And
it's my pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, man, we appreciate it. So if you're like in school, what if I tell my kids, like, all of a sudden everything's acceptable now? And we've all accepted the gay community when we think about it. But then if someone veers off and wants to be quote-unquote transgender, for example, in a school, and then now I see they have the transgender bathrooms in school.
Yeah.
I mean, is it society that puts pressure on that kid that's not sure of his sexuality that leads a kid that way? Is it environmental? Is it hereditary? I mean, what would make a kid be a transgender? Or is it the pressure, the political correctness of the pressure of what's going on in our society?
Well, there are a lot of arguments in the psychiatric and medical field about nature versus nurture, but what we're finding is that there, in most cases, if not in all of them, a biological base as to what sorts of hormones may be secreting in an individual. Too much testosterone, not enough testosterone, estrogen, and therefore, this is what Lady Gaga talks about when they say, you know, when she says, we were born this way. And I think what's happening now is that as a society, we're becoming enlightened enough when someone has made the decision, and sometimes it's not their own decision, that's what they need to do to transition to the opposite sex, to support them. Because if we don't support them, what we see is they end up on the streets, their families, you know, disavow them, they end up going into drugs, suicide attempts, self-mutilation. So it really is about supporting all of our children, LGBTQ, you know, hetero, transgender, because it's about their mental health and loving them. And Joe, you know this, there's just not enough love in this world anymore.
Not now, man. Doc, well said. How did you get the title of America's psychologist before I let you go?
Yeah, because I love America. God bless America.
Oh, my man!
We have a lot of issues. We have a lot of things to work on. But at the end of the day, we are the greatest nation on the face of the planet, even though I come from Haiti. Yeah. I must say that. But I really believe in America. And together, we must solve our problems and continue to lead with freedom and liberty for all.
Dr. Gardier, you are the best.
Thank you.
From Toro College, Dr. Jeffrey Gardier. If someone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that, sir?
Well, they can go on drjeffgardier.com. But most importantly, I have a new show coming on Zubia Live.
Okay.
And it's a health network. They can go to Twitter. They can go to Facebook. Shows are being posted starting tomorrow. Again, zubialive.com. Check it out, the Dr. Jeff Show. And they have a lot of great medical programming, too.
Great to have you here, sir. Thank God.
Joe,
bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you.
You too. I'll see
I
you
love
soon.
You, man. Oh, I really
I love
do.
Love you too, man. Stay close.
All right.
I need the help right there. Dr. Jeffrey Gardier right there.